We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are here every week. We try to discuss subjects that we think are interesting, important, educational, topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York area particularly. And in the last couple of years, actually, we have been talking about what we call the opiate crisis here in Western New York, because it was not just here, but it was all over the country. And it's been so important that so much has been said and done and tried to be done about it, that we here in Western New York have actually been a prototype and an example, a positive example of many ways to address this issue, both through the health treatment, by providers, by education, and a lot of it had to do with the Erie County Task Force, Opiate Addiction Task Force, that was put together under the auspices of the county with County Executive Poloncarz. And this task force was made up of all segments of the community that were involved, providers and medical people and families that were suffering through opiate addiction crises, and law enforcement. And this has been recently, there's been a report about from the opiate epidemic task force at a quarterly meeting that I was attending, and it was very positive results that have happened in the last 3 years since this task force took place. Well, actually, what got me talking about it today, and what we're going to talk about today, was a special edition in the Buffalo News that was printed and distributed not too long ago. And this was called Your Path to Hope, Opiate Awareness Guide. And when I saw this, I thought there was so much important information in here that I wanted you, our listeners, to get an idea of what was contained in it, and also where you could get it if you were interested in it, and some of the important information that was put in this publication by the person who was responsible for publishing it. The news was responsible for publishing it, but the person who was really responsible, let's say, for putting it together and for getting it in front of us and for making it available to all of us, is Jennifer Rung. And Jennifer is with the Buffalo News. She actually, I just found out, although I think I knew it, is the longtime editor for the Buffalo Magazine that comes once a month, right?
That's right.
Once a month. And it's I just look forward to seeing that so much. I don't know if you do too. But along with that, she also oversees special publications. And I guess this opiate addiction publication magazine comes under that auspices of Jennifer. So here she is in the studio with us. And I was fortunate enough to get her to come because I went through my dear friend, Phil Cantonese, who works with Jennifer and who was very instrumental also in getting the idea and getting the information together for this publication. So thank you, Phil. I hope you're listening for getting this together and for arranging for Jennifer to come to On Target and be with us. And thank you. And hello, Jennifer, for coming.
Hi. Thanks so much
hello
for having
and
me.
Thank you. I don't know if I got it backwards, but so yes, we were always going to thank Phil and mention Phil. And he was checking. He was like watching and carefully make sure that you got here the right time and that we had the right station and, you know, how every detail that mm-hmm. Phil always takes care of. And not only is he my good friend, but he's a friend to so many people here in Western New York community that I know that if they're listening, we're talking about Phil, who, if you say to Phil, can you do something or can I ask you something or whatever before you ask or finish, he says yes. You know that?
That's very true.
His answer is yes. It doesn't matter. He'll say yes. Let me tell you before, my answer is yes. That is the best attitude, right?
Yes.
I've tried to learn from him. I've tried to copy that. But anyway, so Phil, whose title is really not, it's sales.
Yes.
I can't think
That's
of his
correct.
Real title.
He's vice president in sales.
Vice president for sales. So it's not really his job to come up as a rule with content or news or anything. But I know that he was instrumental in suggesting to you, perhaps, that this would be a good and worthwhile subject for the community to learn more about.
That's right. I think it was Phil first to really recognize that there's a void in the marketplace for this type of publication that was comprehensive and had information and resources from all the players, basically, in Western New York, all the helping hands in Western New York. So he really, his goal was for us, and he drove this project in a tremendous way, was to put together one comprehensive guide that included everything someone going through this or feeling like they might go through this or who's been in it for a long time, where can they turn, who can help, what can they do, what signs to look for. Nothing like this existed prior to this. So that's what we set out to produce.
And this was the idea of one-stop shopping.
That's right.
In other words, because you could maybe find a lot of this information in different publications, different places, different flyers, but not all in one place. That is the good part.
Right. And it can be difficult when you're going through something like that. People don't know where to turn. It's not the easiest subject to talk about. So it's not like you can, you know, people are asking about it, like, where do I find a dermatologist? You know, it's a different kind of question. It's different concerns. So, you know, this, again, was seeking to provide comprehensive resource where every concern was addressed.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny when you said that, because one of the areas that everyone has been talking about and making progress but not enough progress in is quote-unquote the stigma of drug addiction.
That's right.
Or of any kind of addiction.
That's correct. Yeah, and there's a section in this publication about that. You know, I think that traverses over to mental health issues as well, and it's something that Erie County is working on. It's just these topics are so difficult to talk about. And historically, people, you know, feel shame talking about them, even though it is a disease. It is a disease like any other disease, whether you have diabetes or any other chronic illness. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are really trying to open up the conversation so that people can find the help that they need when they need it and aren't afraid to talk about it.
And we started what I think, I want to say like started at the beginning, and one of the main aspects that you addressed, which I think is super important, is how do you recognize the signs that somebody in your family or somebody that you know, or you yourself, I guess, but it's probably even harder if it's you yourself, but probably it's the question of recognizing the signs from other people. How do you, what's some of the information that you put in this brochure that people should look for, publication, I say?
Yeah,
I should say.
We actually have a whole page that outlines warning signs of substance abuse and abuse. And they range from physical and health-related warning signs to behavioral signs to psychological signs and even home-related signs, things in the environment that you can look to. So, for instance, and I'll back up and say, you know, one or two of these things does not necessarily mean your loved one has a problem. But, you know, taken as a body, a number of these can really indicate a problem. So physical signs, you know, red eyes or pupils that are larger or smaller than usual, sudden weight loss or sudden weight gain, tremors, slurred speech or impaired coordination, pale complexion, frequent use of eye drops, of course, burns on lips, that's telltale sign, yellowish or brownish stains on your fingers and slow reflexes or even self-mutilation. Those are some of the more common physical signs.
And then you also have other fields or other aspects, such as, which I think is just as important, behavioral science.
That's right. And some of these, you know, apply more to younger people, like suddenly starting to skip classes or grades that have dropped suddenly, borrowing money, or on the other hand, suddenly having a lot of extra money. Your children's friends suddenly change or become very different, heightened secrecy, changes in appetite or sleep patterns, more so than usual isolation. All of our teenagers, I think, go through this a little
this
bit.
It might be hard, right?
When it's excessive, you know, that there might be a worry there. Associating with older kids, older teenagers, and coming home late at night, selling personal items, your iPhone, your computers, and that usually indicates, you know, you're looking to try to get quick cash, changes in your clothing, your attire, use of slang terms that you might not have ever heard of or understand, and deterioration of formerly healthy relationships, parental relationships. You're close with your kids and there's suddenly just constant conflict.
And this also relates to psychological warning signs, which are probably maybe the hardest to address, no, the hardest to recognize, but the most important.
I think it is hard to recognize because, again, some of these correlate with adolescence in kids.
Yeah, because as you were reading, even as the behavioral signs, like you were saying, oh, yeah, a lot of teenagers do that and they're not abusing drugs. But
that's right.
What you said, which is important, is if there's more than one of these or if they're signs or they're persistent or they, you know, they kind of add up.
Right. A combined physical and behavioral and psychological. And some of those are, you know, hostility or lack of interest in things they used to be interested in, different activities. Changes in their personality or attitude. They had a great attitude before and things are changing. Sudden mood swings, irritability, unusual hyperactivity, agitation or giddiness. That's can be a sign. Lack of motivation, appearance. Do they look lethargic? Do they look kind of spaced out? Are they more fearful or anxious or paranoid for no reason? Are they kind of keeping away from the family? Are they not communicating with the family as much? Or are they forgetting things? Is there memory loss?
Now, I actually learned it recently at the meeting, at the opiate task force meeting, that not only, not especially teenagers or the kids that we see on the street that we would think are the likely persons who are abusing drugs, but, and this applies a lot to middle-aged people or to people who are even older and elderly.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is a disease that touches every demographic, every neighborhood, every family. I think, you know, to think that, oh, you live in a nice, quote-unquote, neighborhood, this doesn't happen in our school district or it doesn't happen, you know, in our circles is absolute fallacy. Like, it's just, that's a myth.
And also, when you were talking about the psychological warning signs, a lot of those apply to middle-aged and or older
yes.
people as well, you
that's
know,
true.
Like being isolated or staying in their room or losing interest in outside activities. A lot of these.
I was thinking, I was focusing on kids, but you're absolutely mm-hmm. right that those same things apply to adults as well.
Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today I am talking to Jennifer Rung, who is the editor of the Buffalo Magazine and was the editor of Your Path to Hope, Opiate Awareness Guide, which was published in the Buffalo News, by the Buffalo Evening News, but it's not the Evening News anymore, just showing how how long I've been reading the paper, but the Buffalo News. How I didn't ask you when this was published, and I was going to, and how people can get this, their own copy.
Yeah, it was published in the fall of 2018. We still have copies. If you would like a copy, please email me directly. My email is jrun, as in Nancy, g@buffnews.com. I would be happy to get copy or copies you.
There's no charge.
No charge.
Okay.
No. We also have it online. Many of the articles are also online, and that's at buffalo.com/opioids.
Now, let's talk a little bit about prevention strategies. because I think, you know, we're doing very well, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, with treatments. We're going to find out that there is so many places available for treatment now than there ever were before, and the medical treatments are so extensive mm-hmm. and widespread that we're making a big difference. But before we get to that, I thought it would be important to say it would be good if we were preventing addiction, preventing opiate addiction, preventing abuse. And I thought that this part of the magazine was really, really helpful and will be helpful to people.
That's right. You know, as a parent myself of middle school age kids, this was a section and a topic that really spoke to me as well. One thing I learned is it's really never too early to start talking to your kids. You know, there are age-appropriate ways to talk to, you know, a 7-year-old versus a 10-year-old versus a 15-year-old, but it is not too early to do that. And one of the great strategies that is recommended by medical professionals is to be open about it and allow that conversation to happen from an early age, so that if kids do have a challenge later, that they feel comfortable coming to you and talking to you about it, or if you recognize something later, that they will respond in kind.
So that's one method,
strategy.
But yep. I wanted to cover a couple of the others.
Yeah. You know, another thing that medical professionals suggest is really to be realistic and look at your genetics. Does substance abuse, you know, run in your family history?
That's really important.
It is. And, you know, if that is the case, then you should pay even more attention to talking to your kids early, or even to potential signs as they get older.
This relates to what you said before, that it's a disease. Addiction
right.
is a disease.
Yes.
And just like when you go, I'm sure you know, if you go to for breast cancer screening,
right.
for example, as a woman, the first thing they say to you, the first check is anybody in your family, mother, sister, aunt, whatever, had breast cancer? Well, it's the same idea as this, as addiction.
That's right. Yes. You are predisposed more if you do have a family history. That is a fact. You know, something else that is recommended is to be really cognizant of, you know, if your child has an injury, or you know, child or teenager has an injury, or they're going in for oral surgery. You know, it used to be that pain medication was prescribed after oral surgery. That is not necessarily the case anymore. You know, medications should be used as long as they need to be and not a minute longer, especially in kids. Or alternatives are also available. You know, medical professionals are very happy to talk to you about alternative pain management strategies.
And by the way, again, this is something that applies not only to kids, but adults as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of this crisis has come from the overprescription of opioid painkillers over the years.
So that's something that people are very aware of now.
Yes, much
and
more aware.
Another conversation mm-hmm. that's taking place is how to handle the legal and legitimate
right.
use when people really do need painkiller, and how to be available.
Right, and there's certainly
what alternatives there
that's
are.
That's right, and there's certainly a place and time for legitimate use of opioid painkillers and cases there. But it's I think much more scrutinized now, even, you know, by the entire medical profession mm-hmm. of what those uses and prescriptions are, thankfully.
And as you pointed out, that was one of the reasons that legitimately people were given pain medications, but the abuse of it was because really people were not educated, doctors or
Correct.
Anybody else were
right.
doctors or patients, about how easily you could become
right.
addicted.
That's right. I think the ramifications were unknown exactly, and just how quickly that addiction can occur was not widely understood.
Now let's go into treatment, because at this point, as I said, I think we've made so many strides, locally especially, because of, our understanding and because of all the people working together to address the issue, the medically assisted treatments and the people that have been trained, the use of Narcan and narcotics, which was not available before. So you put together in this, it's really, I think, one of the biggest community services you can, places and how people could receive, where and how people could receive treatment.
Right. I think one of the greatest strengths of this publication is that every page has valuable content. So every organization in Western New York really came together to explain what their role is in the fight against opioid addiction, and also to let readers know what they can do to help with phone numbers and, you know, first steps and what they can do. So every page really is filled with, you know, they're advertisements, but they're really, it's really more content to lead them to help, the help they need, whether it's, you know, Horizon Health Services or Save the Michaels. You know, pretty much every local organization is represented in this book.
And I think also they mention, and as well they should, where you can get medical treatment and where you can find beds or immediate help, which is very which was very difficult to find a while ago, and which now,
yes,
things have changed drastically in that regard.
That's right. We have pages with entire lists of recovering and counseling centers. In multiple places, you know, hotlines that people can call to lead them immediately to help that they need, no matter what stage their loved one is in or they themselves are in.
Now, I did want to say that it was amazing to me that you were able to get to enclose or to encompass in this magazine the stories of several people who were affected by opiate addiction, whether it be there's a mother, there's somebody themselves, a recovering addict themselves, and my one and only son, one about a son, one mother's battle. It's in the magazine,
yeah.
So we know that they're able. Can you share a story with us that people might be interested in?
Yeah, well, the one mother's battle is actually about a mom who struggled for many years with her son's addiction, and to the point where she had gone through the system, and this is years ago now, she had gone through the system, so she knew, you know, what resources or what was lacking, like what her challenges were in finding that help. And she went to the CEO of Horizon Health Services, actually, and proposed a brand new job and position as a family liaison so that her role would be exactly that, is just to lead people who are seeking help in the right direction in an immediate way. And that's what she does. And her son now is still, you know, he's will always be in recovery, as every addicted person is, but is doing very well. And her, you know, life's calling is really helping other families go through this themselves and find help and success for their own loved ones.
I think somebody's story here who themselves was recovering, and or at least I know there's a son.
Yeah.
And there's I'm sorry, it's not himself. Our son Paul was 31 years old. And this person's story about their son, which was very personal and very, you know, typical in many ways.
The parents who wrote these stories are unbelievably brave and selfless in that, you know, they were willing to talk to us and share their personal heartbreaking stories. Unfortunately, not all of them ended well. And many of them are now, again, in the role where they are helping other people in the same situation, because they know exactly, they really understand it fully, the pain and the difficulty and also the challenges of just trying to do the right thing and finding help and knowing what to do. And so many of these situations aren't clear. You know, it's not clear. You hear all these things like, well, should you do everything you can or should you exhibit tough love? You know, there are lots of everyone has advice on what you should do. But until you go through it, I think you just don't really know. And there's a lot of people out there willing to help in our community. They're pretty amazing.
And another thing is that you just pointed out is a lot of people who go through this feel that they're alone and they're not, or that they're the only ones who have these issues.
Right. And again, that goes back to the stigma. I'm not talking about it. I think, you know, as a community, we really need to break that stigma. And it starts with every single person, I think, just being able to be open and talk about it and understanding each other and truly understanding what this is about and that it is a disease is just so vital to having empathy for what people are going through. You know, I've heard stories of people, they have, you know, a child who's in recovery or, you know, in the hospital or getting medical care. And, you know, unlike if you have a diagnosis of cancer or any other disease, you know, people aren't bringing meals over to you every day. It's treated differently, and it shouldn't be. You know, people need help as much as any disease, you know, that you're going through. They need that support and help and just the sense of community.
And I think you're right. It's not just the stigma, but it's the, like, it plays out like embarrassment or being ashamed instead of being other people being, like you said, if somebody had diabetes or had a heart attack and they were in the hospital, everyone would be, how are you and how are you doing, or how is your son doing? But now people don't know what to say.
That's right. But they can talk about it. Just ask, you know, ask, how are you? How can I help? It's okay.
It's okay to do it.
Yeah.
Tell me again, before we close, where people can get the information, and also in if they online or calling
yes.
you or whatever, in case they would like to get a hold of this really important magazine.
Yes, for physical printed copies, please contact me directly. My email is jrung, J-R-U-N-G, at buffnews.com, and that's B-U-F-F as in Frank, N-E-W-S. Various articles can also be accessed online. It's not the full publication, but you can get a lot of information at buffalo.com/opioids.
Thank you so much. And we have been talking to Jennifer Rung, who is the editor of Buffalo Magazine and oversees special publications, such as the one that the Buffalo News printed recently, Opiate Awareness Guide. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for
having me. Thank you for listening, everybody. And join us again next week, same time, same station. Have a good week, and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.